Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is Saturday, December 4th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody taking the time to listen and to share their thoughts and their comments with me. I really am honored to be in this position, to be able to have an audience to speak to, and have to acknowledge that at the forefront of every broadcast. Every one of you are so special to me, and the audience is continuing to grow. Thank you so much. And I also, I don't know if Gene listens to my podcast specifically, but if Gene is listening, thank you so much, Gene, for continuing to bring more and more listeners to my platform and to raise awareness about it, and for sharing, of course, your amazing intel and knowledge and commentary and analysis with us. Every time I have a conversation with Gene, I'm absolutely blown away, because I go into it and I have a list of questions and some sort of an idea of the topics that I want to talk about. But because Gene is able to connect so many different dots, once he starts talking and the conversation really gets going, he goes in so many different directions. And it's wonderful, because afterwards, not only have I been able to deliver an interview that's fascinating for the audience, it also, for me personally, it gives me some fresh new intel to dig into and to prepare an analysis report. And I know, I think maybe the last interview that I did with Gene, maybe the last couple, I didn't do a follow-up analysis podcast. But this time, I really do plan on doing that, because Gene really dropped some bombshell information, as everybody knows. More or less, I mean, not as if this information hadn't come out to some degree, but more or less, Gene really did break the massive information For most of my audience, certainly, and I think probably, most of his audience as well, is the graphene hydroxide that they're finding inside the vaccine. And I'm just going to speak openly now, because, of course, my interview with Gene was taken off of YouTube. I knew full well that YouTube was going to take it down, but at the same time, I thought it was very important information that had to be posted regardless. And yes, they took it down. Within like an hour. I mean, it really was only up for about an hour. So, so obviously Gene's over the target once again, and he explained that, this doctor who was a hero and gave his life so that we could have this information. Of course, I'm going to break all this down in more detail later in a more, prepared and polished report, but this doctor came forward with this information and was ultimately killed for it. And it's just now starting to come out, thanks to Gene, that this graphene hydroxide inside of the vaccine, inside of the jab that they're shooting into everyone, essentially they're tiny little razor blades. And more or less, depending upon where they go into the body, I mean, a lot of these people who are getting jabbed and literally not even making it out of the room, I mean, just dying right then and there, it's because it's hitting a certain vein and cutting, and these people are bleeding out. And that's why we're seeing all of these athletes who are just dropping dead. I mean, young, healthy. I mean, but before they got vaccinated, they were young, they were healthy, they were in perfect physical condition. And now all of a sudden there's just, I mean, heck, if there was just one or two, you could say maybe it was a fluke type of thing. But folks, I mean, you've seen all of these compilation videos. And if you watched the interview with Gene, or you listened to the interview with Gene, you saw he actually showed some of this footage. And there's so much of it out there. This compilation footage is powerful, because when you see it happening time and time and time again, the same thing over and over and over, I mean, how many times do you have to see it before you start wondering what the heck is going on here? And so the more active you are, the more dangerous this specific element of this death shot is. And that's why so many young and healthy people are dying from it. So it's very, very powerful information. And I, you know, as I was sitting there watching this, of course, I was absolutely horrified yet again, because I mean, it seems like just when this jab can't get any worse, it does. But of course, Gene was also talking about, and this is key information, that Jim Humble's protocol will oxidize this graphene hydroxide and essentially protect you from the damage, and so that the body can process it and excrete it. But I mean, I don't know about you folks, but, you know, I started on the, you know, once I found out about the Jim Humble stuff, I mean, I didn't waste any time. Because when I realized, a real key turning point for me in this journey was when I realized, you know, I think I was listening to 107 talk about it first, when I realized the protein shedding that was going to happen, and that was happening, and that it wasn't enough that I just simply made a decision not to get vaccinated to protect myself. Now I had to protect myself from all of the vaccinated people out there. Of course, I remember at the time I talked about this in some detail because, you know, it took me some, took me a little time to be able to process that. I was not a happy camper, let's just say. So, but I can remember talking about this. And as soon as I realized that I needed an extra layer of protection, and I found out through Gene about Jim Humble's protocols, I did not waste any time. Now, obviously, I'm not going to get into specific details. Folks can do their own research, but I'm just telling people that this is serious. This is real. And, I didn't think to ask Gene when he was breaking this information down, whether or not this, this graphene hydroxide can enter unvaccinated people through the protein shedding. And I'm assuming that this is just yet another thing that we have to protect ourselves from, and that it's possible that this graphene hydroxide can enter our bodies through the vaccinated from coming into contact with them through the protein shedding, the spike proteins. I need to ask him more specifically on that, but that was my understanding. So this is some very, very serious, serious stuff we're talking about here. And I know, folks, I mean, of course, I'm preaching to the choir, but it's absolutely vital that people take steps to protect themselves from these spike proteins and from this graphene hydroxide and, I mean, the graphene oxide. And who knows, folks? I mean, in the coming days, we'll probably find out more information about more of the poison that's inside of this stuff. I don't know. But I'm taking very, very seriously for myself, you know, these protocols to just as a simple maintenance to be able to, because in my life, in my situation, I don't know about you folks. I mean, everyone's got a different situation, but in my life, I have to come into close proximity on a daily basis with vaccinated people. I don't have a choice at this point. I mean, I guess there's always a choice, but in the terms of the, you know, without uprooting my life, I mean, this is my life. I'm surrounded by, I mean, fortunately, you know, no one in my immediate household has the vaccine, but, you know, all of our family, all of our friends, our coworkers, I mean, you know, it's everywhere. And it was a great reminder for me in listening to Gene talk about this, that this is really something that we have to be very, very, very conscious of, because this is a silent killer, folks. And if people think that just because they made the decision not to take the vaccine or get the vaccine, that they're necessarily going to be safe from this bioweapon that is the vaccine, well, think again. I think people need to take that concept very seriously. And again, I think that I'm probably preaching to the choir for the most part to the audience. But, you know, for those folks out there who haven't really become proactive in terms of, you know, protecting themselves, getting themselves some, you know, pine needle tea and getting themselves well-versed on Jim Humble's protocols and making sure that they do the research like Gene was talking about, potassium iodide or the Magellan's Direct is absolutely, absolutely wonderful product. I haven't used it because I fortunately haven't had that issue. But for folks who do, Gene talks about it all the time. But I certainly in the past have taken, you know, iodine supplements and things along those lines, mostly nascent iodine. But it's a very, very important thing. And I'm not here to endorse any specific protocols for anyone because everyone's body and situation and body chemistry is different. But all I'm promoting here is that folks be aware that they need to take a proactive approach to protecting themselves from these spike proteins, because this is something that, you know, this is a war, and you know, this jab, this vaccine is a lot more deadly than I mean, than we even knew a few days ago. So it's going to be, I think it's going to really be a hellish winter, because a lot of folks, going back to the beginning when they rolled out this vaccine, I mean, this thing was rolled out in February, March of this year. And here we are at the end of 2021. And at the time, I remember listening to the experts, the doctors talk about how this was not designed to have an instant effect, because that would really be too obvious. If everybody took it and just immediately dropped dead, then that would be way too obvious. But it was supposed to be gradual. And that by the time we got into next winter, again, I'm going back in time here, to what we were told, that, you know, going into the wintertime, that in the next flu season, when people really started, to have their immune systems tested and they've been so compromised, well, we were going to see a massive die-off. And I'll be honest with people. I mean, I have a little bit of, I've been having a little bit of anxiety about that lately, just thinking about that and wondering what's going to happen as we go through this winter season. I mean, that's, of course, I'm going to talk about, you know, the overall scope of things and what's happening in terms of the plan in a little while. But really, just in terms of the vaccine itself, what's going to happen over the next few months? Are we going to see what was predicted back in the beginning when they rolled this thing out? Is there going to be a massive, massive loss of life? Now, we've already seen, for people in the know, I mean, I haven't looked at the latest numbers yet, but for people in the know, we've already accepted and seen how many people have already died from this. And this is, again, just the information that we have access to. How many people have had life-changing adverse effects from this? And it's really only just begun. So I'm very, very anxious in a sense, because obviously I don't want to see a massive die-off of people. I don't want to see what was predicted to happen actually happen. I mean, I accept that it may, and that it had to be this way. I talk about this all the time, and I understand it, because given where humanity was, the situation we found ourselves in, it was really the lesser of two evils. It was either that or just all-out civil war and just world war and complete destruction. I get it. But that doesn't mean that I'm looking forward to seeing the fruits of this poison shot and what it's going to do to everyone. Because, you know, I'm one of those people, you know, I have a memory. I remember things. I remember what the experts were saying. I mean, there are different predictions. You know, some people said it's 6 months. Some people have said, you know, it could take up to 2 years, 3 years. But there has been this pretty well-known consensus amongst honest medical professionals and scientists and epidemiologists and heads of the head of Pfizer, all these people have come forward and they've told us what's in there and what it's going to do. And more or less given us a sense of the timeline of how quick it's going to happen. And we're starting to get into that area now, that zone of, that area where they told us we were going to start to see massive loss of life. And this, of course, coincides with the rollout for the vaccine for kids. I mean, 5 to 11-year-olds. And this came up in my conversation with Gene as well. You know, I am just praying that we're not going to see a massive die-off of children from this thing. That we're going to see some intervention before that happens. And I mean, Gene did say that if there was some attempt to force it, some attempt to mandate it, then the military would, as he put it, and I think as 107 said, they would be led down range, that the military would step in at that point. But I just pray that we're not going to see all of these children end up dying from this thing because of the choices that their parents are making. I mean, that to me is just, it's a horrifying concept. And it may be what actually happens. But it's a horrifying thing for me to think about. It's one thing, I mean, it's bad enough to think about all these folks who were deceived by the system and got this jab and, you know, are more than likely going to pay with their life, unless, of course, there's an antidote or some counter move that we're not aware of. But it's one thing to accept that as adults and, you know, and just say, well, these people made a choice of their own free will. But I mean, when we're talking about children and we're talking, I mean, these children are not making this choice for themselves. It's their parents who are going to be making this choice. And unfortunately, it's already happening. You know, not just here, you know, in America, but all, you know, all over the place. I mean, all of these parents now are getting their kids jabbed. And it's just, it's a horrifying thing because everybody knows, I mean, I specifically, you know, I can, I know that everyone in my audience knows that I have a soft spot for children. And, you know, I have a really, really difficult time containing my anger and containing really just my raw emotion when it comes to children and harming innocence. It enrages me and it upsets me at such a deep level. And, you know, I'm beginning, of course, that's what a big, I mean, a big part of this great awakening, really, I think the cornerstone of it all is going to be the recognition of what's been perpetrated against our innocence. And I understand that, but I mean, even this, in the, so this jab, really, I think you could say compared to what's happening to all these other children in Dumbs and everywhere else and sold into sex slavery and all these other things. I mean, I guess you could say it's the least of it, but I mean, it just really upsets me at a deep level to think that so many children, so many innocent kids are going to be victimized because of the choices of their parents and really ultimately the spiritual blindness and ignorance of their parents. And I just hope that it doesn't get that far. And, you know, again, we've been talking about, you know, over the past couple of weeks, I've been very, you know, very much talking about the White Hats taking more overt action. I remember, you know, listening to Simon and he was talking about that not long ago. And I do believe that, you know, we are at that point where I think it's very, very important that patriots out there start to see some overt action. And there's really no way around it. I mean, and I'm not going to, and again, that's not to suggest that I think that I'm in a position or any of the other patriots out there who aren't presented with all the facts are in a position to make these type of operational decisions and calls. I'm just talking in terms of overall where the patriot movement is at and where most people are psychologically and emotionally at this point, now that the year is drawing to a close, and how close we are, I think, for tensions to really spilling over into being kinetic and having the situation kind of spiral out of control. That, to me, has always been one of my biggest fears in terms of how this situation could devolve. I mean, am I prepared to the best of my ability if that ends up happening? Yeah, I think I am. But that's the last thing that I want to see happen. And I'm getting to a point now where, given what folks are talking about and given the lack of overt action that's given rise to so much of this discontent and so much of this infighting within the patriot community. And then, of course, there's the Lynn Wood situation, General Flynn, all of these things that are, in my view, I mean, I understand, I do believe that on the one hand, they're necessary. I think that the whole situation between, my personal opinion is the situation between Flynn and Lynn Wood is a lot deeper than what meets the eye. And I know that, you know, there are a lot of folks out there who have different opinions and have chosen one side over another. And my instinct is that that's exactly what the trap is. Now, I don't understand the full parameters of it, but my belief is that there's some sort of a tactical reason that this huge distraction has occurred and why it's continuing to be basically Lynn Wood continues to, on a daily basis, really, to pour gasoline on the fire, so to speak. And that's not to criticize him, by the way. But I mean, if you're reading his posts, I mean, he's really going after people. I mean, he's calling people out left and right. From Sidney Powell to Dan Bongino, to Doug Billings. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on and on. And my feeling is that I do believe that there is some sort of an operation going on, and this is meant to be a distraction. But I mean, yes, and to be, I think for a lot of folks, it's a distraction for all of us in a sense. But it's aimed at, I believe it's aimed at the Black Hats. I believe that the White Hats are trying to create the sense. It kind of goes back to the art of war. You know, appear weak when you're strong. I believe the White Hats might be doing this in order to create the perception amongst the enemy that the Patriot community is falling apart, that there's no unity, and to get them to perhaps consider certain moves so that they can then counter those moves. Again, we know, for people who have really been paying attention, we know that the White Hats have always been several steps ahead. And they've been able to set traps all along the way. And we've gone through example after example of this. We've documented example after example of their ability, which really, I think, in essence, goes back to, at its core, is really all about the non-terrestrial technology that we have been given to us by our allies, by our non-terrestrial allies, that is far superior to anything that the enemy have had available to them. I think, in essence, that's what it really came down to, is who had the more powerful toys, who had the more advanced, you know, weaponry, the more advanced technology to be able to game this all out. And the White Hats, thank God, I believe it was exactly God who ensured this happened this way, that we, the good guys, got access to the technology that was necessary to be able to defeat the enemy. Because without that, there's no question we would have been wiped out. But we know that because of this technology, they've always been several steps ahead. And so I believe that this feud between Lynn Wood and all these other folks, I think it's, in essence, it's a psyop. Now, it could be, I could be wrong. You know, there could be information that comes out about all of these individuals, about General Flynn, about others, that at a certain date, who knows? I mean, maybe Lynn Wood really does have all this information, and maybe this stuff is really legitimate. That's still a possibility. I'm not telling folks that that's not a possibility. But my instinct is to think that because this is getting so much attention, that it was probably intended to be that way. But of course, all possibilities are still on the table. Actually, when I was listening to Simon this morning, he really gave the strong impression that there's more going on with this situation between Lynn Wood and others than a lot of folks realize. He didn't get into really more specific analysis or detail or intel about it in terms of explaining exactly what the dynamic is, because I don't think he can. Just like I don't think Gene could really, I don't think he was really at liberty to talk about it when I asked him about it. So I do think that there's something going on there. Now, we're obviously going to see how it unfolds the way we always do. But would it surprise me that some of these individuals were actually plants? I think on one level it would. I mean, if it turned out, and again, I'm not saying it will, I'm just saying if it turned out, well, let's just say General Flynn, for example. If it turned out that General Flynn was actually a Black Hat and, you know, was actually a bad guy, or who knows, if it turned out that he had been compromised in some way or cloned, or I mean, God knows, the possibilities are endless, as we know. I mean, the rabbit holes go so deep. Would I be surprised by that? On one level, yes, because, of course, I mean, I've been listening to General Flynn all along. He's been, you know, one of the cornerstones of the Patriot movement, of this whole Q operation and plan. I mean, he's been, you know, how do you talk about it without mentioning General Flynn, right? So yeah, I mean, I would be very surprised. But on the other hand, like I just said, because the rabbit holes go so deep, and because the deception is so thick, and because I've acknowledged that, you know, before it's all said and done, that likely we would see people who have infiltrated the Patriot movement, or, you know, people who have posed as being Patriots, that we were going to see all of that be exposed by the end of this. I've been saying that all along. I agree with Lynn Wood on that, that, you know, every lie is going to be revealed, and that, you know, a lot of these lies center around people that we thought that we could trust. So that's still, you know, very, very much a possibility. And I do believe that a lot of these folks will be exposed, and I think there are going to be some big surprises. So it's very possible that, you know, that Lynn Wood is also, you know, telling us, you know, trying to give us the truth and truthful information. So that's my take on it. My, you know, my belief ultimately is that I think that it's an operation. It's a psyop. It's a white hat move. And I believe that, you know, my gut instinct still is that, you know, General Flynn is a patriot. You know, that Sidney Powell and all these other folks are patriots. But if information is presented otherwise that, you know, honestly causes me to question or change my opinion, I will certainly do that. Like I always say, I mean, you have to give yourself the license to change your mind and your opinion when new facts emerge. But based on what we know now, I think that's kind of where we're at. But it's a very, very frightening time when you think about it, because, you know, we're entering in, like I started out today talking about, you know, we're entering into this, what I always believed would be the kill season. And, you know, we're really just right at the edge of it now. You know, we're about to enter into the holidays, and then, you know, what follows next, you know, throughout the winter. And, you know, really, especially, you know, I've talked about more and more, the reality is we're entering into another election cycle. And we still have no resolution. We still have no justice for 2020. And yes, this is one area where we can sing Trump's praises all day long. I mean, we could, you know, folks can criticize Trump's approach to the vaccine. I certainly understand that. But when it comes to the election, I mean, yeah, there were some people who still, you know, they still believe that Trump should have signed the Insurrection Act and really just gone after the deep state right then and there and just ended this thing and have it be a civil war if necessary. Some people still believe that. But you know, I think that Trump, his handling of this, according to what I know now and understand now with the plan, the devolution plan, I mean, I understand that this was the right move. And I don't think that you can really criticize Trump's public statements about the election. He's never been ambiguous about it. He's always said that you're never going to have another fair election if you don't have justice for the 2020 election. And that's true. And everyone understands that. Everybody knows it. I mean, actually, I was a little surprised because Simon was talking about in his last podcast that worldwide, the overall consensus seems to be that the election in 2020 was legitimate. And I actually had just the opposite impression that that it was Americans who were duped more than the rest of the world. But I mean, he seemed to, you know, suggest otherwise, that the perception out there is that it was a fair election. But I'll tell you one thing. In America, at this point in time, everybody knows that this thing was stolen. I mean, unless you're willfully ignorant or really just, you know, just that ignorant and believing the mainstream media, I mean, everyone knows that this was stolen. So we're entering into another election cycle, knowing full well what happened in 2020, knowing full well that we haven't seen any justice for it. There's been no, I mean, things have just gone from bad to worse. Do I believe this is by design? Absolutely. But the reality still is that we all know that the election was stolen from us, and we're going to be entering into another midterm election cycle in the same broken system. That's really that's gotten worse and worse and worse. Now, I mean, I understand that a lot of good things are happening too. I mean, Trump recently gave an interview where he talked about, and he always reminds folks that, you know, part of this isn't just, it's not all bad in terms of what happened during the election, because so many states have moved in the direction of, you know, voter ID and more election integrity laws. That's great. In areas where, you know, you would kind of expect that there would be some movement or response in that direction, which is wonderful. But ultimately, overall, that's not enough. We need justice for the 2020 election. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the coming months. I mean, I've been saying all along that I believe that we're getting closer and closer to that overt action, that tipping point, that sea change moment. But I don't really know how long this is going to drag on. And all I'm saying is that if we get into next year and we get deeper and deeper into next year and closer to this midterm election, and there's no justice and there's no resolution to the 2020 election, I think that's putting the entire, first of all, the country, but really the entire world at grave risk at that point. Because there still is the card, and it always needs to be mentioned. Because I think that, I mean, everyone understands it, but I think that it doesn't really even get mentioned enough. The card of the American people has yet to be played in terms of ultimately taking matters into our own hands and ultimately taking our country back by force, if that's what it comes down to. Because that still is very, very much a reality and a possibility if, of course, there is no plan. If our worst nightmares came true, and if it turned out that it was a psyop all along and that we were the ones who were being targeted, well, you know what? We have guns, and we have the will to use them, and we have a massive militia, the biggest standing army in the world. And so if it really turned out to go that route, well, come get some. Because that's really going to be the attitude of the American people. Now, that's really ultimately my, you know, that's the worst case scenario. I don't want things to move in that direction. But people need to understand. And I know my audience does, but I think, you know, overall, there needs to be a recognition of that we will fight for our freedom. And if it comes to the point where too many people, and this is another thing that concerns me, is that if it gets to a point where, you know, a critical mass of patriots no longer have faith in the plan or have been pushed to a point, over the precipice, really. I mean, it's one thing to be on the precipice of destruction, but if you get pushed over it, well, I mean, there's not going to be any dialing it back at that point. I honestly don't believe, because I think that there's a level of anger and there is a level of rage and there is a level of commitment to fighting for freedom and to maintaining our way of life in this country. And I know it's really worldwide, but I know I can only truly speak for Americans. But I know that there is such a deep commitment to our values and our way of life and our freedom. We're willing to fight and we're willing to die for it. Just like our ancestors, just like the people who came before us, the founders, and everyone who came before us, we will fight for our freedom. And we will not be defeated. Now, do I think it's going to happen that way? No, I do not. But I also think it's very, very important to lay those cards on the table and just to remind everyone, you know, we have cards to play as well. I don't think it's going to get to that point. I really believe in the plan. I really believe that, you know, as Gene was saying, that the Omicron variant is a military code. It's a military comm. It's a marker. I mean, once you start to really pay attention, I mean, it may require in the beginning for a lot of folks, you know, it may require them to almost feel like they're suspending their disbelief and opening up their mind to a whole different way of thinking. To being able to discern and to use their spiritual abilities to be able to look at information and to discern the truth and to be able to look at these comms and to take them seriously in the beginning, because people are so cynical and they think they're so surface level in their understanding of things that they think it's kooky to talk about things like this, like, oh, you know, to reading the comms and reading for hidden messages and this and that. Because the cabal has created this attitude amongst the people, of course, that it's loony and kooky, and it's only conspiracy nuts do that. But guess what? More and more people are becoming conspiracy nuts because more and more people are having experiences that are in direct opposition to what they're being told on the TV. And we're being trained, we're being deprogrammed is really what's happening. And we're being trained on how to communicate and code, to understand hidden meanings. And all of this is vital for our ascension. It's a training ground. This whole process, as painful as it is, it's a training ground. We're ascending right now. Is everyone going to make it? No. But we're going through a process of learning how to understand information, to interpret information in a different way, and to read the comms, like Gene was saying. The Omicron are the last major group of negative non-terrestrials in the dumps, specifically in South Africa, that are being dealt with right now by the Alliance. And I knew when this new variant came out, I mean, especially when it was timed so close to the Maxwell case. I mean, I knew that this was a calm of some sort, and Gene confirmed that. And if this is the last major group and the last major area where the dumbs are being cleaned out, that, to me, is massive information. And it really coincides with what we're being told across the board by the insiders, that we're getting closer and closer to this massive tipping point. But can you really have the overt action? Can all of that stuff happen before all of these dumbs and all of these negative groups have been cleaned out and wiped out? I don't think so. I mean, Gene showed us on the map all of the earthquakes. And you can, I mean, it's powerful to see the visuals because you see all of these earthquakes all at 10 kilometers. I mean, sure, there are some that weren't. There are such thing as natural ones. But let's face it, I mean, if you've been listening not just to that interview, but if you've been listening to, you know, Gene's decodes in general and watching him go through the USGS site and point out all the earthquakes, I mean, how many coincidences before it's impossible? And, you know, not all of them have both a P and an S wave. They're all exactly at 10 kilometers. We know what's going on. And it's very powerful to see because, as I pointed out during the interview, we're very much still at war. This is an ongoing battle. And while the dark fleet up in space has more or less been, you know, kicked out and, you know, has escaped or left the system or been captured, there's still an ongoing process. Gene talked about Solar Warden and building the space fleet that's going on in space. So many things are still going on. So many operations are still active right now. And, you know, it's important for me, it's important to remind myself of that and to be realistic and to realize that it's going to take some time before all of this stuff is finally completed. But Gene, the information that he gave us about the Omicron, I think was absolutely huge. Because I think that once the dumps have been really completely cleaned out, and we've been told that, you know, most of the major ones, I mean, especially the ones that, you know, the our positive agenda non-terrestrial allies have been concerned about. I've talked about this before about, you know, Valnek and Thorhan have mentioned that the main dumbs of their concern, you know, Roswell and things like that, Area 51, and there were some others, I can't remember, I think it was Dulce, New Mexico, but there were specific ones that they were concerned about that had been already taken care of. But we've been told all along that the process is ongoing. And you have to maintain that mindset, I think, when you're analyzing this overall timeline. And for folks out there who are, you know, really frustrated, and again, I share in the same frustration, I voice it all the time, about the fact that we haven't seen the overt action that we want to see yet. You have to ask yourself, does it make sense that they would come, that they would make their move while they still have so many active operations going on in the dumps? And we know the depravity and the horror and the incredible seismic significance of what goes on in these dumps. And if there's still fighting going on, that means they're still rescuing people. That means they're still trying to save lives under there. And so I think it's a very sobering process, and to look at this reality and to realize that this is an ongoing war, and we're still at war. And as I continually say, as frustrated as we get, who can predict when the end of a war is going to come? Now, do I think that we need to see more overt action? Absolutely, I do. Because I think it's almost like a balance or a seesaw, a balance beam. It's almost the way I look at it in my mind. On the one hand, you've got to take into consideration all the things I'm talking about right now. We're in an ongoing war. And so the alliance has to let the war unfold the way that it's going to unfold. But on the other hand, you also have the growing impatience of the people, which is every bit as much of a factor of consideration. It has to be. And we've been told is by numerous insiders of the alliance. They understand this, and they don't take lightly the will and the determination of the American people, and really the people worldwide, to fight for their freedom should it come down to a physical fight. So I think we're right in that zone that you know, we're in a very, very, I think we're, this is the reason why I think we're getting so close, because I think we're really running out of time. I think the window of opportunity for this plan to be pulled off successfully is getting, really, the window is closing. It's becoming a shorter, and as time goes on, and as people's patience wanes, the window, I think, gets smaller and smaller for this plan to really be pulled off successfully. Now, do I believe that it will ultimately? Yes, I do. But that's why I think I have this feeling, this energy, and I've talked about many, many times my perception that the energy all around us is changing. And that continues for me. I mean, with every passing day, the energy just gets more and more tangible and palpable for me. And I can sense that the change is just so close. Some days it feels so close that it feels inevitable that it's going to happen. Like, it feels imminent for me, just on an energetic level. So I know that we're getting very, very close. And I know that this window of opportunity, I mean, we were told we were going to have a near-death experience. And when we finally are in the eye of the storm, it's going to feel as if all hope is lost. And that, to me, I mean, you know, when I heard that, I heard Juan talk about that, I mean, that really, you know, it kind of gave me chills in a sense, you know. It's a frightening thing. But I do believe that the White Hats are serious when, you know, and Q is serious when they talk about a near-death experience. You know, when you really think about it, what does that really mean? It means that we're going to be really close. I mean, you know, as close as we are now, we're going to get even closer. It's like seeing the whites of the eyeballs of your enemy on the battlefield. That was another metaphor that he threw out there. But that's how it's going to go. I believe, you know, we're getting closer, but it's going to get, in the coming weeks, and I hope it's just a matter of weeks, honestly, but in the coming weeks, I think it's just going to get more and more, you know, kind of nail-biting. And people are really going to get, as much as their anxiety and their level of frustration is now, I think it's going to get amped up some more until we finally hit that crescendo. And what that's going to be is anybody's guess. Of course, we have the Maxwell case going on. And with the Maxwell case, we've got all these other distractions going on. Now, will the Maxwell case ultimately be that linchpin? Yes, I do believe it will. And Gene concurred with that. This case is going to have significant implications. And it didn't seem to me that Gene was suggesting that he thought that, or that he anticipated that the cabal, the deep state, was in control here. I mean, I brought up the judge and I brought up the prosecution, but ultimately it seemed as if his take on that was that this is going to be significant and we're going to see an enormous amount of action, takedown of very powerful people as a result of that. It seemed to be my take on his response. And I think that because this trial is going on right now, we have to be close. And again, if worst case scenario, if nothing happens, if for whatever reason, you know, she's found not guilty or nobody goes to jail, well, there are going to be consequences for that as well. And I shudder to think what they are. But I do believe, in essence, that we are right on the cusp, as I've been saying. And I think that every passing day, we're getting closer and closer to the eye. It's almost like I almost visualize it as like the white hats are threading a needle, you know, and that the hole to put the needle through is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And they're going to wait till just the right moment when it appears that goodness and righteousness and all hope is lost and that we're on the ropes. I believe that is going to be the moment when they strike, because I believe that is going to be the moment when humanity is the most unified against evil, is when we reach that precipice of destruction. All right, folks, I'm going to leave you here. I have some things I got to do today, and I really hope you, first of all, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I thank you for taking the time to listen. I hope you also let me know in the comments what you thought of today's coffee chat. Make sure you subscribe to all of my different platforms. Currently, I am suspended on YouTube, but I'll be back eventually, I think in a couple of weeks. But I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean in the meantime. So God bless each and every one of you. Please do everything you can to support the show and my work. God bless to all of those who have, and for everyone who has been so supportive of my journey thus far. I love each and every one of you. All right, everyone, I'll be back soon. Patriot out.